And we found that the biggest predictor on milk production and feed intake was that animal's thermal balance at 8 o'clock in the morning. So if she had elevated respiration rates at 8 o'clock in the morning, if she had elevated body temperatures at 8 o'clock in the morning, then we knew that she was going to have a subsequent decrease in feed intake and milk production.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Adasail, provider of Smartamine M, the best-in-class rumen-protected methionine product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production. Kemin invites you to optimize your herd's performance. Dive in at kemin.com/dairy. Birdus Nutrition, the fatty acid people. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit barnes-na.com/animal nutrition. Vitagro, the gut health experts, rumen protected, right where it matters. Sponsored by S. Milko Inc., specialists in calf and baby farm animal nutrition, delivering precision formulated milk replacers. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Todd Calloway, and we are dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in dairy nutrition. So get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead of the curve with today's episode. So today we are joined by Dr. James Spain from the University of Missouri. So Dr. Spain, welcome. We are glad to have you.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning.
Over the years, I've read a lot of your work on heat stress and how it works with dairy cattle. What are your thoughts on, you know, what we're facing as far as the, you know, number one, the future of the dairy industry as heat increases, climate change, but how does it affect our, you know, our milk production and things like important metrics like feed intake?
We have a bovine warming challenge that is impacted by changes in the environment. But what we have essentially done is increase the internal combustion engine of the modern dairy cow through the genetic progress that we've been able to make. And so as we've increased milk production and the metabolic rate that's associated with that, is we've increased feed intake and the heat of fermentation and heat of digestion, metabolism, that's created a higher and higher internal heat load for those cows. And then that has created a higher susceptibility to heat stress. And as you note, as we increase environmental temperatures, as we increase humidity, that impairs or has a negative impact on the ability of that cow to cool off, to lose that heat that she's generating. And so as she becomes heat challenged, heat stressed, then she's going to take actions to reduce the heat that she's creating for herself. And part of that is going to be a decrease in milk production. Part of that is going to be a decrease in feed intake as she tries to bring down the heat that she's generating for herself. And then we begin to see that in the decreases in feed disappearance. We see that in decreases in milk being produced per day. And we also begin to see some other signs like depressed butterfat. It's not uncommon for us to see some herds experience some laminitis following a severe period of heat stress because of some changes that are happening in the rumen. So the challenge that we face now is different in some ways than the challenge we faced in the 1970s and 80s because now it's an it, then it was reduced their exposure to heat by providing shade and such. Now we've compounded that by having that cow produce so much heat internally that's associated with the 50 and 60 and 70,000 pounds of milk production some of our modern Holsteins. And it's not just the Holstein, it's all of our high-producing cows that are susceptible to this challenge.
Today's episode is sponsored by S. Milko Inc., baby animal nutrition specialist focused on high-quality milk replacers. S. Milko works closely with producers, nutritionists, and veterinarians to support healthy starts, strong performance, and consistent results in calves. With carefully formulated products and a commitment to quality, S. Milko helps set the foundation for lifelong animal success. S. Milko Inc., setting the nutritional foundation for strong, healthy animals from day one. Learn more at esmilco.com.
Well, I was going to ask, that leads me to the next question really well. So, you know, we keep improving our herd so rapidly using AI and getting, you know, these better cows. How do you think that set us up to succeed or fail in terms of heat stress in the future?
Well, we're going to continue to compound the challenge, right? The higher and higher the level of milk production, the higher her heat increment, the heat production that she's producing. And so we will see, and I have seen in some of the work that I've done in visiting with dairy producers in colder climates, right? I've been invited to give talks on heat stress in Canada. Well, whoever expected Canadian dairy cows to experience heat stress? Well, it's because they're producing so much more heat than they've ever produced. And now the challenge is, and how do we adapt our systems in order to help that cow transfer that heat, lose that heat, so that she can maintain something of a thermal balance in her comfort zone, not the environmental comfort zone. In fact, the thermometer we should be using to run our cooling systems is not measuring air temperature. It really should be based on cow temperature, because those cows, they accumulate heat, Todd, during the day. Right, their lowest body temperature is at 7-8 o'clock in the morning. Their peak body temperature is between 9 o'clock in the evening and midnight. And so if I'm turning the fans on and off based on air temperature, I start turning the fans off at 9 o'clock at night when the air temperature is cooled down, and that cow is now at her peak in body temperature. And so we really have to reset the way our systems are engineered to operate, to focus on cow comfort and the cow being the thermometer, if you will, versus us driving the systems based on environmental ambient conditions, air temperature and such.
Yep. And, you know, that's something here in the Southeast we run into a big problem with, because the temperature never cools off at night, that temperature humidity index. So that accumulated heat load stays with these cattle for, you know, several days.
Yes. Well, and we did some field study research that was funded by the USDA. And we found that the biggest predictor on milk production and feed intake was that animal's thermal balance at 8 o'clock in the morning. So if she had elevated respiration rates at 8 o'clock in the morning, If she had elevated body temperatures at 8 o'clock in the morning, then we knew that she was going to have a subsequent decrease in feed intake and milk production.
That makes a lot of sense. I never really thought about that.
We've done some chamber studies and looked at daytime cooling. So the fans come on at 7 o'clock in the morning, they shut off at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, mimicking how we would control it based on a thermostat set to air temperature. And then we ran night cooling, 7 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock in the morning. And even though that air temperature at night is still higher, it's not as high as the daytime temperature. And so when we run that fan at night, we've got a greater energy capacity or transfer of energy capacity when we look at her skin temperature and her and the air temperature.
Oh, that makes total sense. There's just the delta or that difference between you can get
better. It is our ability for heat transfer, right? And so if you get hot and you can blow cool air over your skin, you have the greater capacity for heat transfer versus if I'm blowing hot air. So during the day, if all I'm doing is blowing air, I'm not using misters, I'm not using sprinklers, different methodology of heat transfer. But if I'm running at night, I'm running that just the fan because I've got high humidity. Don't necessarily want to add more humidity to the barn environment. But if I'm running that fan at night, I'm blowing a cooler air over her skin and given, and our research demonstrated that if we ran the fans from 7 at night to 7 in the morning, I could drop her core body temperature at 7 o'clock in the morning to be equivalent to when I was running the fans 24 hours a day.
It doesn't have to be this hard to keep cows pregnant. At Verteus Nutrition, we understand the negative impact that lost pregnancies have on a dairy's economics. Every failed pregnancy means more money spent on expensive semen, additional replacements to raise, and fewer valuable beef calves to sell. Feed what embryos need. Strata with EPA DHA, the pregnancy nutrient.
Wow, so that way they can really get more bang for their buck as a producer.
Yes. I mean, the ultimate goal of a cooling system is to cool the cows. And to cool the cows means we're going to drop their body temperature. We're going to transfer the heat so that we can drop their body temperature to maintain feed intake and milk production. And running those fans at night gives us a great advantage in our ability to efficiently transfer heat, cool cows, and get them ready for that morning meal that we know is key to maintaining production.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Spain. I really appreciate it and gave us a lot to think about on this.
My pleasure.
So that concludes another episode of the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt Podcast presented by Wisenetics. Thank you for joining us today, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to stay updated on future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's episodes, please leave us a review. Your feedback really helps us and can help guide us into who we should talk to next. So until next time, this is Todd Calloway from the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt Podcast signing off.